A Podshape production.
Episode 5. After all these years, Lily's brother opens up. Over the past episodes, we met Lily Parmenter, whose mum went missing 15 years ago in far north Queensland. We talk with the police officer in charge of the investigation into Katie O'Shea's disappearance. There have been two clear people of interest. Lily's brother Alan is one of them.
You know, he's never once attempted to contact, to my knowledge, police and find out what's happening. He was evasive from the word go. And, you know, probably the information he had at his disposal would have been of great benefit to our investigation, but it's not to be.
You're up in the sky, I'll carry you home, home to the mountaineers. And soon, my friend, you'll see them again, the ones you left behind, the ones you left behind.
For over 15 years, Lily's younger brother Danny has never spoken about his mum's disappearance and what he thinks happened.
My name's Danny O'Shea. I am the third child of Katie O'Shea. This is the first time I've ever done anything like this. I know Lily's been the forefront of everything. So, it's been a long time. I guess I'm more than happy to, talk about it for a little bit and, have a different voice behind it. So,
you may remember in an earlier episode, Danny's birthday was 9 days before Katie went missing.
So I just turned 16. So my birthday is December 20. So not obviously 9 days before it all happened. So as it's well known that Mum went up for the birth of her first grandkid, which was super excited about. Those who knew Mum, she was really fiercely loyal for us five kids.
Katie didn't have phone reception on the day of Danny's birthday, 20th of December. But Danny remembers his last call with his mum.
So my last interaction with Mum would have been like the 23rd or 24th of December. She called me to sort of wish me happy birthday and see how it's going, all that sort of stuff. And I just remember, obviously, I think, one thing with Mum, she pretty much only had one rule, was just to call her Mum. And I'm a bit of a smart ass in a way sometimes. And I get it from Mum, I guess. And on the phone, she's just like, call me Mum. Like, is it sort of a joke? And then my last interaction with her hanging up the phone for me, which is that angry about me not calling her mum. So, that's, I guess in a way, like, you want your last memory of you, anyone close should be a good one. Unfortunately, that wasn't the case, but unfortunately, that's life. So when I first found out, it would have been like the 13th of January, so pretty much the same time when she was reported missing. And I was staying at John McKenzie's house. And so I was in Box Hill where he was living, and I was getting some food or something. I get this text from Mum's friend Loma, and I don't know what exactly said. It was on the lines of like, Mum's missing, hope you're okay, XX. And I just remember I was walking the street and all like in the street where back to McKenzie's house, and I was just like, I was taken aback because like you don't really know what to sort of feel when you sort of hear that for the first time. It was pretty numbing, and I just remember running back to McKenzie's house and I was like, what's going on, sort of thing. So it's a whole range of them, especially as a 16-year-old kid, like, having your mum there your whole life, she did everything for us kids. And obviously with dad, I'm estranged from my dad. I don't really have much to do with, and that's through choice. And so she's done everything for us, and it was just weird. Like, you just don't know how to take it the first time. And as a kid, like, at that stage, like, I sort of struggled. I was starting to do, just about to do, start my VCE, so year 11 and 12. And, you know, that sort of affected me a lot as a younger kid. Now, you know, unfortunately, I'm a lot better. But, you know, like I think for one thing for myself, I think, which really gets me by its perspective, like there's so many more people worse off in this world than me. You know, I've got, you know, good friends, good family. I've got a roof over my head and I've got it so much better compared to a lot of people. So that's, I guess that's how I sort of get by. And, you know, learning from my 16 years of being around my mum, sort of treat how she went about life towards other people. So
Danny realises his mum was no angel. As has been stated before by police and even Lily, she was a little transient and earthy.
I know she's like, I know she spoke weed, yep. But I never found out about like the heroin sort of stuff until the inquest. I remember like at home in Melbourne, she'd have like these spoons and needles and that sort of stuff, and she was saying it's a spider bite. Mum had got bitten by spiders a lot, so she's sort of like, if you got like a spider bite, she sort of, I got bitten once, she used one of a syringe and then sort of sucked it out like that. But I wasn't really aware of the heavier sort of stuff like heroin until the inquest, which is a bit sort of taken aback because I know how bad that can affect you know, people and that sort of stuff. So that was a bit sort of confronting when I first found that out, because like heroin's a pretty it's not a good drug sort of thing. So
how close were you when your mum went missing to your other brothers, Alan and Tim?
We're always close. Especially like Tim, we always played sport. We'd play cricket, footy, tennis. Alan was sort of, I guess, a protector in a way. And I guess when mum disappeared, it's pretty much she was like the glue, because after she disappeared, like, you know, Tim's been in and out of jail a few times. I know he does. He's on ICE, and same as my brother.
And how's your relationship with them now, with Alan and Tim?
Oh, I think last time I saw Alan was in 2010, maybe.
Yep.
He'd just been beaten up really badly. He got jumped and pretty much got beaten to an inch of his life. Like he got jumped with baseball bats and all sorts of stuff, and apparently he was very lucky to survive that. And I took him out to the pub for lunch, and that was it. And Tim, I've got nothing to do with Tim. 2017, when he, after his first stint in jail, came over to my house one time and had a few beers and all that sort of stuff. And I think it was a day or so later, he's called me up and he's like asking for money. And I'm on my way to work. I'm pretty much nearly at work. And he calls me up. So, you got any money? I'm like, I've got some cash on my bedroom table. I think it was like a couple $100 or whatever. And my back door's open. So I had an apartment with a housemate. I was like, yeah, my back door, sliding door's open. So he obviously had the cash, and then he found some more money. He found some more, pretty much trashed my house and like robbed me and my housemate. So he found some more money. I had a tablet that he stole, and then he took my housemate's watch and his spare iPhone. So ever since then, I've sort of dusted my hands off with him. And
Danny has not spoken to his brothers for years. Lily has also struggled to get hold of Alan.
I tried on a couple occasions to get him to come and like to talk to the police. But both times he refused, and his state of mind is not what I would call, from my standpoint anyway, his state of mind wasn't exactly stable, we'll say. And he seemed a bit overly aggressive towards me, so it's better if I just stayed away.
Lily sent me a Facebook connection to her brother Alan. So we reached out via Facebook Messenger to see if Alan would be willing to give his side of a story that's lasted 15 years. Alan isn't very active on Facebook. He last updated his profile in October 2019, and it's not one of the most complimentary photos and actually looks quite scary. Danny doesn't like my chances of hearing back. I've reached out to Alan via Facebook, via Messenger. And send him a text. What do you think my response will be? With?
Good luck. If you do, I'll give you $200. But yeah, he's impossible to get a hold of. And yeah.
Katie O'Shea's disappearance feels like it's ripped this family apart.
Mum was the glue. And since she disappeared, it's just, a lot of things have happened between Alan and Timmy. Bridget, I know, I think she's all right. I don't really speak to her much, but I think she's doing okay, so she's keeping her head out of trouble, which is good. But Alan and Timmy have sort of, they've gone down the wrong path in a way. Yeah, it's pretty shitty, but there's nothing you can really do. You just try and do the best you possibly can be the best person you can be. And I know, looking down, I know Mum would be proud of what I'm doing. And you can't really control anyone else. You can control yourself and do do the right thing.
I think it's definitely fractured us, but I think it's not irreparable. I try and be there for all my siblings, because I love them no matter what. So yeah, I think it's actually isolated us from, I guess, the rest of the world a little bit as well. We tend to keep people a little bit of an arm's reach now.
Much like Lily, Danny also believes that foul play was involved in his mum's disappearance.
I know for a fact that something's happened. She's not the kind of person that runs away like that, especially from the main reason she was there was to see be there for the birth of Alan's first kid. She was so excited about it. It definitely wasn't in her nature to run away like that. It was in her nature to sort of disappear for a night or so, do whatever, but definitely not in a way that she just sort of disappear off the face of the earth.
So if she didn't disappear, then are you thinking something untowards happened to her?
Oh, absolutely. 100. I can put my life on it. Something's happened. So I'm that certain that there's fair play that's happened.
And we've talked about this a lot in the podcast. There are two persons of interest that the police mm-hmm. have looked at over the last 15 years. Mm-hmm. One of them is your brother, Alan.
Yep.
How possible do you think that is?
Can't rule anything out, really. I guess in a way, as bad as this sounds, Alan hasn't been very cooperative with police. He was the last person to see her alive, which, you know, means that something could have happened. And you know, I guess in a lot of, not just missing person cases, a lot of murder cases, the person who's been murdered 90% of the time, the victim knows the person who did it.
And the other person that is interest is actually in jail right now. His name is Frank Walk. He's in jail in
yep.
Western Australia for rape and murder, which he's now appealed and is trying to get out of jail.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Which is pretty awful. What are your thoughts on Frank Walk?
He's definitely not a suspect. I know that he was friends with my brother, and I'm sure when my mum would have born up to Queensland previously, I'm sure I heard that she might have met him like at a party or something, so he's definitely a suspect. I know his crimes, especially the rape, knowing the story of what he did was pretty heinous. And I guess the way that if he was the person, it would not have been very pretty, but saying like I just want answers. And
we set out to tell the story of Katie O'Shea's life and answer the question, is she missing or was she murdered? I don't know if that's any clearer now, but what is clear is the family needs and desperately wants answers.
I miss her a lot. You know, she did everything for us. She sacrificed so much for us kids and, have her ripped away in such sudden circumstances. You do think about it. As I was saying before, when I was younger, I really sort of struggled with it.
I feel stuck, I guess. I guess it's sort of like pushing it, like, I always just think it's pushing like a really heavy rock up a really, really, really steep hill. And you're sort of struggling to make it up to get to the top. You take one step forward and then you just get pushed right back down to the bottom. To bring my mum home, to lay her to rest. No one deserves to be buried in an anonymous grave when no one knows where you are. Ideally, I'd like to bring her home and get justice for her, but I guess I want that person to end up in a little cage where I know exactly where they are for the rest of their lives. I don't believe in capital punishment. I believe in making them sit in a jail cell because they've done to our family. They've put us through prison. We can't do anything. We're sort of serving a life sentence, so to speak. They deserve the same.
We'd like to thank Danny and Debbie Gifford for their memories of Katie. I'd also like to thank Brett Devine, who has spent the last 15 years as a police officer trying to find an answer for the family. And finally, Lily Parmenter, who has dedicated her adult life to finding out what happened to her mum.
I'm now studying criminology and criminal justice from hairdressing. I'm still hairdressing, and eventually I hope to join the missing persons unit in the federal police. I guess my one thing that I've always wanted was to help other families that have had to have gone through this as well, because it's not that it makes it worth it, but it makes it easier by doing it in mum's name, I guess, rather than just sort of, I want to make her proud, so I want to help people that I have to go through this too. I wish I'd told mum that the kind of mum that she was. I wish I didn't take her for granted. And I wish she knew how much I loved her and ironically how proud of her I am. I feel like sometimes maybe I took her for granted. I wish I'd told her thank you for just being an awesome mum, just to thank her for everything. Like, there's not a day that I don't think about her.
You're up in the sky, I'll carry you home, home to the mountain near. And soon, my friend, you'll see them again. The ones you left behind, the ones you left behind. And I'll sing for you.
If you know anything about the disappearance of Katie O'Shea, please contact Crime Stoppers anonymously, 1300 333 000. There are over 38,000 long-term missing person cases in Australia, and the story you've just heard is one of them. We want to continue to help bring these emotional stories of ambiguous loss to you so we can spread the word and hopefully get some closure for the families. For as little as the price of a coffee a month, you can help support us to keep creating this content. Just head to our Patreon page. The link is in the show notes.